Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to talk to one of the top college football writers in the country. He works at Sports Illustrated. His name is Ross Dellinger. Ross, appreciate you coming on. Let's start with the decision from the Power Five conferences to move to conference-only games. What was your reaction to that?
I think it was probably a long time coming. I think what we're going to see is most conferences go that direction. You know, it makes sense. You know, it's going to be tough enough in a pandemic to play. You want to cut down your season a little bit to provide some open weeks of flexibility if you have outbreaks and, postponed games and cancellations. And then you can all operate under, the same testing kind of in-season protocols. So, and you can start the season later, as we've seen with the SEC. The SEC... there's a little more to it with their move that involved money as far as TV in bye games and getting out of bye game contracts by changing the scheduling format. So it kind of depends on the conference, but overall it just gives everybody a little more flexibility to complete what is the goal of the season, and that's your conference season and to crown a conference champion.
I was a little bit surprised by the SEC plan to push things back later into the year instead of trying to speed things up. It seems to me that the plan would be to try to end the season as early as possible as opposed to pushing it back later than you normally would.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the SEC and around college football were pretty surprised that the Big 12 was moving up games like they were. It seems like most conferences are going to be pushing back games. The ACC already announced delaying a week, the SEC 3 weeks. Sounds like the Pac-12 is going to delay at least a week, maybe two or three from reports. So I think a lot of people are a little struck that the Big 12 is moving things up. And while that does give you flexibility of weeks during the season, obviously if you start early, you'll have more open weeks. It also has you playing at a time when virus numbers are quite high in the nation. So from the SEC standpoint, why they're playing so late, I think they're going to be the latest kickoff probably of any conference, is they are expecting a surge and spike in virus numbers once students return to campus in camps start around mid-August or so. And then you have the Labor Day holiday. So like one AD told me this morning that they expect a spike a week after Labor Day in early September. And they want to kind of overcome that, I guess, and that's why they push back like they have. But every conference seems to have a different approach. You know, we're going to have staggered starts, it seems like, from every conference.
Is there any chance that we have bowl games or a college football playoff or a national champion this year? And I get it. It's really not about that. It's let's just get as many of these things in as we can. But I haven't really even heard of any talk of any sort of postseason this year.
Oh, I think, I guess it's all dependent on the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci has said over and over again, the virus makes the rules kind of thing. So the virus in the numbers will determine that. The regular season also will determine how smoothly a regular season will go. But for now, I think the bowls and the college football playoff are on board, ready to host games. It'll be a little different. Teams will, and the bowl eligibility issue will probably arise. You'll have to do, instead of six wins, you might have to do just 500 record or better. That could be the case. And then, you'll have some issues. I mean, if the SEC teams don't complete 10 games and, you have a team that's 4-5, what happens? Do they go to a bowl, So you probably have some waivers, and it'll be a different type of year. But depending on the virus case numbers and hoping that they don't skyrocket during flu season. I think we will have some kind of postseason if enough teams complete the regular season.
So the NFL is kind of an entity within itself, and the same thing with Major League Baseball and all these pro sports. The difference, obviously, with college is that you've got these student athletes that play a sport, and they're also supposed to go to class and do all these different things. How much do these universities need college football to happen? Because if there's no bowling team this year, no gymnastics, the universities are going to survive. How important is it that college football happens for the lifeblood of these universities?
It's huge, and not just for the universities, but the surrounding community. I know a lot of people have written about the impact on college towns of all of this, and it's significant. So college football, especially in certain places, specifically the Deep South, is so important to people. And it's the type of religion, and it runs not just schools, but the whole communities. So it's very important, and it's like any other business. You know, I understand that the college football business is different because it is run relying on teenagers and 20-year-olds who don't get paid, but it's still a business in a lot of ways. And just like any other business, a clothing store, a restaurant, a bar, they're trying their best to play to stay afloat. And I don't necessarily blame them. This is very important. There's a lot of money at stake and a lot of jobs at stake.
Right now we're talking to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated about college football and what their plan could be for the upcoming season. I always thought playing spring football made a lot of sense, like any plan, especially when it comes to the virus. There's a lot of pros and cons to it. Why do you think that spring football didn't pick up a lot of steam?
Oh, gosh, there's so many issues with the spring season. It's just like endless. You can list them off. But the biggest issue from talking to administrators is the impact a spring season would have on a 2021 fall season. You'd be eliminating basically 4 months of the off season. You'd be starting the spring season around late February, potentially the heart of flu season, and you'd run through much of May. And so you'd have to somehow adjust summer workouts. You might even have to move back the 2021 season. As administrators have said to me, it would make a one-year problem a two-year problem. So that's the first reason. But I think there are plenty others. Just logistically, TV windows, logistically on a campus holding all that. Your star players leaving, not playing and leaving for the NFL. We're already seeing some of them leave now, skipping fall seasons, shortened fall seasons. So what would they do with a spring season? I think a vast majority might leave. So lots of issues with the spring season. Most administrators want to avoid it at all costs.
If you had to look into your crystal ball, what percentage chance would you give us having a fall college football season this year?
A complete season, all the way through, I would probably put it at around 40 or so percent, probably just less than 50% sure that we can actually complete a season. They are trying their hardest, in a conference-only model will certainly help get to that end.
That is Ross Dellinger with Sports Illustrated joining us on the show to talk about the latest and breaking news regarding the 2020 college football season. Ross, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.